You are tuned into Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
Indeed, we are powered by the SID Media. So we are going to be speaking about all things Easter and the Passover. So the definitions that I got is that Easter is a principal festival of the Christian church, which celebrates the resurrection of Jesus Christ on the third day of his crucifixion. The earliest recorded observance of the Easter celebration comes from the second century through the commemoration of Jesus' resurrection, probably occurred earlier. Meanwhile, the Passover, also called Pesach, yes, you want? Speaking Jewish today, Pesach is a major Jewish holiday, one of the three pilgrimage festivals that celebrates the biblical story of the Israelites escaping from slavery in Egypt. So I'm giving us these two definitions from Google. Please don't crucify me. From Google. From Google, these are the two definitions, right? And the reason why I'm doing this, I'm bringing them over, is that next week, in our calendars, I think it's worldwide, right? There is a Easter holiday, Easter celebration, and so forth and so on. And then now when we bring it back to our people, I'm just going to refer to no ordinary people here, we are calling it Ipasika, which it translates to the Passover. And we do have certain churches or certain people saying that next week they're celebrating the Passover. Others, they're saying it's Easter. So there's a whole lot of confusion somewhere there. And yes, I did do my reading, Elder Derek, don't worry. So do text me on +27 734 703 5200. So let me bring in my elder Jonathan Yamba, who's joining us on the line. And my elder, good morning, how are you? Oh, did
fine,
I
fine, and you? How are you, my dear sister?
I'm fine. Hello, I thought I pressed the wrong button. I am good. Thank you so much, my elder, for coming through to help me. Me, I'm partially helped now, 20% understanding what you're talking about, to help me and some of our listeners, you know, understand what's happening next week, you know, because, yeah, kuningi, it's a lot that is happening there. So, my elder, before we start, I'm going to ask that, can you please pray for us?
Living and loving God in the heavens most high, we bow before your presence to thank you most sincerely for the privilege and blessing of life. Loving Father, we want to thank you for the privilege to sit and learn of you. We can never have too much of you. Every day, oh God, we come with an open mind and open heart, because it is you who promised and said, blessed are they that hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Help us, oh God, that we may grow in wisdom and understanding. We discuss yet again a very important aspect and subject. Our plea and prayer is that may the presence of the Holy Spirit ever be before us, guiding us and leading us into all truth. And ultimately, as we learn together, we will praise your holy name, because you are a good and a faithful God. Thank you, because we ask and pray in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.
Amen and amen. Thank you so much, Mdala. My elder, let me just kick it off like this. What are 90% or 80% ish? Yeah, my numbers there. The majority of Christians, what are they celebrating next week, or what are they observing?
Well, next week, what will be celebrated generally, what is celebrated is Easter. So it's going to be called different names, but I think what you find the general and common name around here is Easter holiday.
Okay.
Okay, so yes.
Okay, so it's the Easter holiday. And looking at the definitions, I got that the Easter is where now we observe or celebrate the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now comes in the question that I get from my 12-year-old. Gandhi, when did Jesus die? Because this year it's in March, next year it's in April, that year it's in March. Why don't we have an exact date? Do we even have an exact date?
Well, to say that we have an exact date written in the Bible when Jesus died, will not be accurate. Mm-hmm. We know the day. Okay, he died, and when he was resurrected, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But then, when you look at the when you look at in relation to the Passover, it being an old, you know, festival, religious festival celebrated in the in Judaism,
mm-hmm.
you discover that there is some kind of specification to the timing, because it begins at sunset of the 14th, okay, of the month of Nisan,
mm-hmm.
which is usually around March, April. So perhaps that is where it comes from. It is a 7 days celebration of unleavened bread.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe the period of March, April then comes from there.
Mm-hmm. Let me mix the two. What is Passover for my elder?
So Passover, like I have said, is a celebration. It's mm-hmm. a festival. It's a religious festival, which is just meant to commemorate God's deliverance of the Jewish people and the deliverance from the slavery of Egypt, and also it is a creation of Israelite.
Mm.
Israel as a nation. So in the New Testament, it is also used for a memorial of the suffering and the death of Jesus Christ. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And when you read that from 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 8, you're going to find that Christ himself is that symbol of that unleavened bread.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? That was a symbol of him. And so the Passover in the early church is showing us the picture of Christ himself.
Okay. Looking at the two events, do we have any way in the Bible where we are told or instructed or encouraged to celebrate any of these two events, be it Easter, be it the Passover?
Okay, so in the Bible, you will not find us being instructed to celebrate Easter or Passover.
Mm-hmm.
But like I have said, you in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, all the way to 8, you are going to discover that Christ, the Bible precisely there says that Christ is our Passover lamb that has been sacrificed.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when you ask about specifically Easter, its origin and just where it came from, how it began, it's a discussion that has so many. Historians have brought up a lot of things that have been said, but the short of it is that over time, even with the historical explanations to it, that in the Greek, you know, the goddess of spring and so on in the 8th century, there are so many things that you're going to find that will just explain to it that it is more of a historical. But over time, all that has been lost. All that remains in the minds of the people is never to connect it to this goddess, okay? But it is just the fact that it is associated with the resurrection of Christ. You hear there is a talk of the Latin. They'll talk about the celebration. The people will go on fasting, and then you talk of Christ being crucified, and then Holy Sabbath, and then a Palm Sunday. I don't know whether I'm getting those correctly, but in a nutshell, it is now connected to just the suffering of Christ, the death of Christ, and the birth of Christ. We've not been told to celebrate, but what we understand is that it's a fact Christ was crucified.
Mm-hmm.
It's a fact Christ died. It's a fact he was in the tomb. And it's a fact the Bible confirms that very early in the morning, the first day, okay, and Sunday as we know it. So now, this is one of those situations that we just celebrate because it confirms what we've always talked about, that the Bible is very clear that Christ dies on Friday, and it's called Holy Sabbath, And then very early in the morning, what is called Palm Sunday, the first day of the week, he resurrected. So we may not necessarily observe that this is the actual day that Christ was crucified, but we know to say it's a fact that he was crucified and he died and he resurrected.
Okay, here is a question, my elder, that is coming through on our WhatsApp line to our listeners at home. If you also want to be like my two people who started texting me the moment I opened my mouth, do text me as well on +27 734 70 35 20. We are trying to clarify and understand the issue of the Pasika. I'm going to say it in Venek because when I say Passover, you know, Pasika and Easter. So the first one, my elder, we have two. I'm going to start with the first one. Is the elder suggesting that Easter and Passover are the same thing?
Very a tough question, interesting question.
Mm-hmm.
The Passover, like we have gone over it, Christ is our Passover.
Okay.
And like we have said, the Passover is a religious feast.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And if you remember very well, the destroying angels, okay, where there will be blood, what will I do? I will pass over.
Mm-hmm.
So the Israelites had a commemoration with it. But remember, whatever was being done then was pointing to Christ. Okay, it was pointing to Christ. It was a shadow of what was yet to come. Now, the Passover as a feast or as a festival, it took a week long, and the bread that they were to use, the unleavened bread, all that was pointing to Christ. So the Passover itself as a feast is something that was centered around Christ. Later on, as you hear of the Passover being spoken of in the New Testament, it is still an aspect that is talking about Christ himself. And you hear in verse 7, let me just read it. It says, get rid of the old yeast so that you may be a new unleavened batch as you really are. For Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed. Therefore, let us keep the festival, not with the old bread leavened with malice and wickedness, but with unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. You see how the Bible is trying to bring the old from the festival aspect and making it a reality in Christ. Okay, to say we are now going to put away the bread which is leavened, and it breaks it down to say bread which is leavened because it has yeast, and this yeast is wickedness, it is malice. And when we put it away, we then put on Christ. Okay, we replace it with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Why? Because Christ himself is our Passover. Now, not to say that the Passover as we have it from the Bible, we have it in our calendar where we are celebrating it. But in the Jewish calendar, it's there, the 14th day of Nisan, they celebrate it, okay, that way. But for us, the Easter as we know it has its own root and historical background, like we have said, where there are all those explanations from history, where it has its own connotations of worship of goddess and all those things. But like I have said, over time, all that aspect of where it actually originated from and how it came up has been lost. What is left of us when we speak of Easter now, mm-hmm. what we are talking about, what we learn of, or what we hear, or what is resonating, it is the aspect of the suffering of Christ. It is the aspect of the death of Christ and the resurrection. So to say, are these one and the same thing? Probably we can say that the Passover speaks of Christ, and Easter speaks of the Christ that is crucified and and dies and is resurrected.
Mm-hmm.
Are they the same thing?
No.
We're speaking about Christ. Yeah.
Okay. So yeah. since Christ is now our Passover lamb, right? So does it mm-hmm. mean that we love to use this phrase, you know, as Christian, the Passover feast was nailed at the cross. We no longer have to do it.
Well, you see, you are right, because you find that these were ceremonies and feasts
mm-hmm.
that were celebrated then. We celebrate them with meaning. We don't have a Passover, a calendar, or event on our calendars to say this is a Passover week, because our understanding is that those are some of the customary things that were nailed on the cross, because the Passover festival was pointing to Christ, and he has died. So when the bridegroom is there, there is no need for us who are with the bridegroom to now continue fasting and waiting for him. So in other words, those things find their fulfillment in the Lord. Okay? So uh-huh. so that's how come you find we don't celebrate that, because they are pointing to Jesus. So the Passover was pointing to Jesus. And so we, because Christ died on the cross, we don't celebrate it. No, you don't find any commandment in the Bible instructing us to celebrate and the death of Christ.
Mm.
No.
Mm.
All we are told is remember the Sabbath day. So we celebrate the Sabbath. But it is God himself, it is Christ himself who died. He does not say celebrate, but he says, do this in remembrance of me. So the foot washing, he told us to do it.
Mm.
Okay. And as we eat of the bread, we remember. If you like, you can say that is our celebration. As often as you do this, we are in remembering of his death, his body that was broken for us, and the blood that was shed even because of our sins.
Mm-hmm. All right, here is another comment that came through. Keep them coming, ne? Keep them coming. I will bank all of them. Don't, before the elder goes, would have taken all of them. Don't worry. This one, because we're speaking about the two events, if I can call them, ne? So we are clear, interchangeably so. So this one is saying here, we hear you, my elder, you know, you're saying that, yes, the Easter, it has its own, you know, history. Whenever we're reading about the goddesses, etc., but now it's in fact associated with the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, right? So what does the Easter bunny got to do with the death of Jesus Christ? Where is the bunny entering in the death of Jesus Christ?
Well, you see, truth be told, the traditions and all the practices around the bunny and the eggs and their meaning, that, you know, the egg is standing for the tomb and all those things, you will not find their significance in the Bible. If truly we are going to find those practices, bring them and try to fit them in the Bible, you will not find them. Even Easter, as it is widely celebrated, it's any wonder you will find that we as Seventh-day Adventists, we don't celebrate Easter as is celebrated, as what we are seeing as is, because it's not there in the Bible. And the practices thereof, you will not find us having a position that this we will do and that we will do. So the bunny and the eggs, because they are not there in the Bible, I honestly would not even say I have an idea what they mean. I have read of what is said of the bunny to mean and the egg to mean over Easter. But because, you see, remember, we've got to rely greatly on what the Bible says about these things, so that then we will know to say this is what Scripture is instructing us to do. So when you strictly talk about Easter, Easter, we acknowledge it. We don't celebrate. We acknowledge the fact that Jesus, our Lord, indeed died. He was crucified and he resurrected. But the fact that we acknowledge it, we ourselves, you're going to find that we don't celebrate Easter. We acknowledge Christ died. We acknowledge Christ was in the tomb. We acknowledge he resurrected. But you will not find us celebrating. Why? We have no basis to form that practice of us to do what? To celebrate. We have no basis at all. So that's why you find that there is nowhere you're going to find us celebrating.
Okay, here's my elder. He's coming through with paragraphs and paragraphs. So here's another question coming through from Elder Virir here. Oti, which is more important to commemorate? Easter, which is not biblically supported, or the Holy Communion, which Jesus said to do in his remembrance? So which one is much more important to do?
What is biblical is to remember Christ, and we do so as often as possible when we participate in the Lord's Supper.
Mm-hmm.
Because he himself, he said, do this as often as you remember. So when we know the significance of washing our feet, we know the significance of the bread that we eat when we come to the Lord's Supper. We know the significance of the wine that we drink. He himself, he speaks of the bread and says, this is my body which was broken for your sins. This is my blood. Drink. Okay? So the water, the blood, the wine that we drink is significant to us because Christ himself has explained it to us. It has meaning in our lives.
Mm-hmm.
We are drinking the wine as symbolism of that blood which was shed, of that water which came out of his side. We are eating this unleavened bread because we know of the body of Christ that was broken. Now, we cannot compare what is written and what Christ himself instructed we do, and the practice that came from people. They may have their own understanding, and then people say, well, we think that it is good to celebrate this event. It is okay. We don't oppose, because it is a fact Christ was crucified, but we have not followed cunningly devised fables. It is not suggestions by people that we are going to hold on to, but we follow what Christ himself has said. Do this in remembrance of me. That has Christ telling us what to do. So if you say which one is more important, to celebrate Easter or to participate in the Passover, I am simply saying we celebrate and participate in the washing of feet and of eating of bread and drinking of wine, which we call the Lord's Supper, because it was instituted by Christ, and he himself told us to do this as often as possible as we remember him, until the time we are going to drink and eat of that table with him. That is what he said. He never told us to say on the third day. He himself talked so many times about how he was going to suffer and how he was going to be crucified,
mm-hmm.
and how that after 3 days he was going to resurrect. If it was significant for us to celebrate these things, he would not have left us to doubt. He would have said, celebrate how I was arrested, celebrate how I was killed, and celebrate my resurrection. He would have given us an explicit instruction, or at least impliedly, he would have said something so that we could have held on to it and say, Christ told us to celebrate these three events, but the only one we have been given to celebrate is the aspect of the foot washing. So my answer to that is that we participate in foot washing. We celebrate it, and we have no position over Easter. We don't celebrate it because we have not been instructed to do so.
Mdala, I hear you, ne? So when I was doing my Googling and my studying, right, and also conversing with fellow colleagues, etc., and it this also goes into the comment that I'm just seeing here. So what I found out was that the Easter, it's associated with Ishtar, right? The god of fertility.
Yeah.
right? Hence, we are seeing the Easter eggs, and then we are seeing the rabbits, you know, because Ishtar is a god of fertility, right?
Fertility.
So now, this comment here, I'm just going to read it as well as it came, saying that according to the Discovery News, since ancient times, eggs and rabbits have been a symbol of fertility, while spring has been a symbol of rebirth. So even though rabbits don't lay eggs, the association of these symbols was also natural. Speaking of fertility, a rabbit can have 12 babies at once and can get pregnant up to 7 times a year. Hi, Wendirik. That's about 80 young a year, right? So given this, my elder, that we can to understand the association of the rabbits and the eggs together with Easter. And then you are saying that we do not celebrate it, and we don't have a position basically of it, but people do it. Is it not a pagan event that is being celebrated here? Who is Easter? Because Easter is not even in the Bible. Jesus said, because it, for me, it causes that kind of confusion. Like, we are celebrating things that have nothing to do with the Bible, or people are observing things that have nothing to do with the Bible, yet they are saying that they are Christians. Yes, they could be like me, who read up, who Google things, you know, for that time, and then we move on with life. But isn't the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ such an important event that should be more knowledgeable about it? Let us, so that we don't go out there saying we are observing or celebrating the death and life of Jesus Christ, you know, 3 days, crusades and everything else. Can't it has nothing to do with Jesus. It has something to do with a pagan god.
I totally agree with you. And that is why we do not celebrate Easter. We do not celebrate Easter ourselves. Because if you go into the history of what Easter is, like you have rightly said, you will find other writings will tell you Easter, the name came from some Anglo-Saxon goddess, Esther, and all that. Like, so because I have no source, you see, how do I put this rightly? What we believe, or what forms our position and doctrine, is that which is written. Anyone can write and suggest anything. So, but what is in the Bible? The mere fact that Easter has no origin from biblical writings, but historical, the goddess that we're talking about, the fertility that we're talking about.
Yeah.
What has fertility got to do with the death of Jesus?
Yes.
What has fertility got to do with him resting in the tomb and his resurrection? Okay, because then the implication is that if God wants us to celebrate fertility, and then there is a sister in church who is not, she's been married 10 years, 15 years, and they have not been blessed with a child.
Yes.
Is she going to relate with this God? Because according to the God we are celebrating, he's a God of fertility.
Hey.
So what are we saying to that sister whose womb the Lord has locked? So it has totally nothing to do with our God. The subject of fertility, God settled it. He himself in Genesis said, go and do what? Multiply. So when I have been gifted with a child from my loins, it's a blessing from the Lord. Now, my relationship with God, with this Jesus, is such that even if I were not able, due to medical condition or whatsoever, I were not able to father a child, I would still honor him because he still remains God. So he is not God because I am fertile or I am sterile. No. It is immaterial. My position is immaterial. It doesn't, because if it had anything to do, if his fertility of bunnies that can have, if for crying out loud's sake, the bunny can have even 100, it can give 100 children over in a month, it will still not have any significance related to the subject of the birth, the death, and the resurrection of Christ. So that's how I see that Easter, like you have rightly put it, it's a pagan practice.
Okay.
Why is it called a pagan practice? Because we can only find it by searching other writings. It's not there in the Bible. So to celebrate it, it's entirely up to your position as an individual, what are you going to do? Would you rather obey God or man? If it has been made by man, what then will it have to do with God? If you celebrate it, are you honoring God? Okay, or are you honoring men? If you're honoring men, your reward is with men. It has nothing to do with God. You cannot come to God to ask for a reward when what you are doing has nothing to do with Him.
Your reward is in the chocolates and the Easter.
Yup.
Okay, all right. So my elder, I have a voice note, ne? And my listeners at home, please bear with me. We are using a totally different studio and it's quite tricky here, but I found a way to play this voice note. So if it sounds not quite to standard, I apologize in advance. So my elder, we do have a voice note from Sister Andile. I'm going to play it now. Hopefully everything will work out.
Hi, Sister Zanele. Great show. It's a very interesting one. I've just taken a minute just to think about how I see it. And I'd just like to share with you how I've come to see that Easter, the relevance of it, or the significance of it, or the lack thereof. So I just, you know, with these topics, it helps me to go to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, because it's our journey of faith. So Hebrews 11, verse 1 says, now faith is the substance of what we hope for, right? So in all these concepts of faith, I always have two things. You've got the substance, and then you've got what we hope for. The Bible also says that hope that is seen is not hope, right? So for example, let me just give an example. So for example, the second coming of Christ, has it happened? No, it's still what we hope for, but we do have the substance of it, which is the Sabbath, the day of the Lord. Although the day of the Lord that we're all waiting for has not yet come yet, so it is still what we hope for, and the substance of it is the day of the Lord, which is the Sabbath day that we celebrate and we enjoy. Now, when it comes to Easter, as Mfundisi said, I was sort of thinking along those lines. Yokuthi, the Passover was pointing to what Christ has already fulfilled. He already has become that Passover lamb. So it's no longer what we hope for. So it's already fulfilled in Christ. So it's not something that we hope for. You know what I mean? So it's the substance, but it's also fulfilled. So it's not a faith. It's not a faith concept. Is already fulfilled in Christ. We get to enjoy it every day, not just to remember it as what is still to come. Okay, the English there, I don't know if it's happening, but thank you for the lovely show.
Thank you so much, Sis Andile. My elder, did you get anything there? Do you want to reflect on what Sis Andile had said?
I totally agree with her, because like she has said, when we talk about a matter of faith, like the aspect we dealt with of the Passover, it was a matter of faith. The Passover was pointing to Christ. Mm-hmm. So you will find that many people, they lived by faith.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, they lived by faith, looking forward to the coming of Christ Himself, the coming of Christ, because all that it was pointing to, the living bread was pointing to Christ. Okay, mm-hmm. The shoe bread, when you go to the sanctuary, all those things that are there are simply pointing to Christ. Now Christ has died, and so there is nowhere we are being instructed to again go back to celebrate things that are in faith, that we are being waited for and hoped for.
Mm-hmm.
Christ now is alive. We acknowledge that He died for our sins, but He is alive. Remember that angel asking Mary and say, why are you looking for the living among the dead?
Yes.
Yes. What is He pointing to us? There is nowhere in the Bible, even if it is in the Greek Bible, at least scholars will tell us that there is nowhere where Easter appears, but it is in honor of a goddess of spring. And you see that the rebirth of life and the fertility that we've talked about, the bunnies being brought about, talking about reproduction. These are very good concepts.
Mm.
But truth be told, these concepts are not built on solid ground. We have not followed cunningly devised fables. We have built our faith on what is written. And so I totally agree with my good sister.
So we do have Sanelis, so we see your comment and question is there. I will take it now, but this one I need to take it quickly because it goes back to what Mfundisi has just said. Now Mfundisi Elder Viriri is coming back again saying we keep saying Easter is not in the Bible, but what of the below verse? And then he quotes here Acts chapter 12 verses 4, and it says, "And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four," you English word, "quaternions of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people." And this is our beloved King James Version. This is what he's saying. We are saying it's not them for this. But the book of Acts is telling us something different. We do have the word Easter in the Bible.
So when we speak of having the word in the Bible and the concept of Easter in the Bible, that is what we're speaking to say. You see, the like we have said, by the time we were getting to, if you go into the history of Easter, like the aspect of Christmas, it was a problem of a mixture of the Christian belief, okay, or the Christian position and the pagan, so that it is now brought to an acceptance. So when we are talking about Easter in the Bible, really, in terms of the teaching of what Easter is, it's not there as a concept which is calling us to celebrate and worship. The mention of Easter is in the line of what we have explained. Christ, if you take the context of that particular verse read there, so that after Easter, it is simply giving us a picture that is Easter, as is understood to have those, you know, days, and these days being referred to Easter, you know, where we have Friday. I don't know what it is called. Good Friday.
Good Friday, yes.
Good Friday, yes. Yeah. Good Friday. Then you have, I think it is still called Holy Sabbath. And then
Palm Sunday, yes.
Okay? So the general understanding of that flow of days is what is being referred to. But what we're discussing is in the context of have we been instructed to commemorate and celebrate.
Okay.
That we don't find in the Bible anywhere where we are being called expressly or impliedly to say we must celebrate. No. The Bible does not talk, because what happens on Friday and on Sabbath and on Sunday. I'm as I'm speaking, a question comes to my own mind to say, if we take the Sabbath to be in between Good Friday and Palm Sunday, when we talk about celebrating Easter, is every Sabbath then not a part of the Easter celebration? So I think what I'm just trying to say is that we cannot begin to concoct something of our own.
Yeah.
If it is something that is significant to us as human beings to worship, God will instruct us so that not to do so, we will be in disobedience. But if it is not given to us, we that's why you find, like we have said, we have no position to say we must worship, because where we draw our strength and authority to establish a position, it's not being mentioned that we should do so. I think that is the context in which we are saying in the Bible, Easter celebration or commemoration is not there at all.
Mm-hmm. Here is Saneliso coming through saying, but the elder is right. You know, the church does not formally celebrate Easter. Each church member does so on their own accord. This is in accordance to the Seventh-day Adventist Church, saying that as a Seventh-day Adventist Church, we do not say this is how we celebrate Easter. People can decide to celebrate it or not. It's okay. But as a church, we don't. And then she comes up with a question. How do we celebrate Passover? If not, why not? Kuningi, you know, whenever I say kuningi, it's a lot. Eh? It's a lot. Kuningi, it's a lot. You know me, we are teaching each other languages. So do we, as Seventh-day Adventists, celebrate the Passover? If not, why not? If yes, how do we celebrate it?
Yeah, a very important question yet again. Now, like we have mentioned what the Passover was pointing to, and that Christ is our Passover, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So it was a festival, okay, in Judaism. And you still find it in the Jewish calendar,
mm-hmm.
commemorating Christ's deliverance of the children of Israel from slavery,
mm-hmm.
okay? Now, this Passover begins on the 14th of Nisan, like we have said, usually around March and April. Now, we have not been, I think as Seventh-day Adventists,
mm-hmm.
Years back, we used to have, you know, those collections of offerings. There were special offerings that were being, spoken of maybe towards the camp meeting and so on and so forth. Some of those,
mm-hmm.
you would hear an interchange of language where people would want to refer to such, okay? In mm-hmm. some places where you go, you will find them talk about celebration of the Passover and so on. But truth be told, the Passover had its fulfillment in Christ Jesus.
Yeah.
So do we celebrate the Passover as was originally or as is originally understood? No.
Mm-hmm.
In our calendar, you will not find it. As a matter of fact, this week, you will find ourselves as Adventists. We are celebrating the youths, isn't it? We're talking about showing up in the cities. And if you ask, are we celebrating? Yes, we are celebrating. You remember Christ's method alone mm-hmm. will give us true success. So we mingle with the people. We show that we care. We understand how much they are suffering, and then we bid them, like he did, follow me.
Mm-hmm.
So that is our way of celebrating, living a Christ-like life every day, making to do what Christ did so that in his similitude, we grow. And that's why it is written that until the image of Christ reflects in the church, then the end will not come. So yes, we celebrate Passover because we celebrate its fulfillment,
mm-hmm.
and the fulfillment is Christ Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
So we live with Christ every day, and as we commemorate his life and his death, we go out there to show who Christ is to our brothers and sisters, fellow humanity, and by so doing, we are leading them to the true Passover, like 1 Corinthians said. It says, get rid of the old east so that you may be in a new and living batch, you as you really are. For Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed. Therefore, let us keep the festival, not with the old bread leaven, with malice and wickedness, but with unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. If you hear what Paul is saying, he's almost answering the question by saying, yes, let us keep the festival. Let us celebrate the Passover, except the Passover now, we are celebrating it because we have the reality of Christ. And this reality is in the unleavened bread, which is truth and sincerity, not as the bread of living with East, which is full of wickedness and malice.
Okay, so as we're nearing the end, to our dear listeners, if you have something last minute thing you want to ask regarding Easter and Passover, please send it through, because I know you, my listeners, and I love you so much. I know when I say bye-bye to Mfundisi, that's when the questions are going to come. So send, we have about 5 minutes or so until we end. My elder, so seeing this, I remember, you know, when before I started the show, I was in conversation with my colleague Uzama as he was leaving, right? And we spoke about this thing, and between me and him, there was even a debate about the Passover and the Easter, you know, about Ipasika. Because what do you call Passover, Mfundisi, in your language?
Ah, yeah, yeah. I'm scratching my head.
You're scratching your head.
It has to be a phrase.
Okay, it's fine. All right, you'll teach me. You'll send me. It's okay.
Okay.
Reason being that we have people saying, next week, it's the week of the Passover, right? And they say it in Venek, and even I saw some posters where they spoke that next week that in English. They are celebrating the Passover, and they even have a cross there. You know, the whole issue of the blood. Next week, we're going to sing the blood songs, you know, everywhere. We have been cleansed by the blood of Jesus. So now my question now comes, Mdala. Is there a need for the body of Christ? Not even the Adventists, not Pentecostals, not whoever, but the body of Christ in general. For us to have a thorough understanding and a thorough study about these meanings, about these things, your Passovers, your Easters, the feasts, so that we understand them. Because, for example, we were saying there that, there is a celebration of the Palm Sunday, but a quick Google search tells you that the Palm Sunday is before Easter. But we've seen that it's done after Easter, that Easter Sunday, you know. So is there a need for us to really, really study and understand? Because, the confusion is strong. Mm-mm, the confusion is a lot.
Indeed, there is a need for a thorough study if we care what we believe in. That's why you heard me say one of my texts that I love so much is 2 Peter 1 verse 16. We have not followed cunningly devised fables.
Mm-hmm.
Because if somebody just came up with a statement and announced and said, from now onwards, all the people must worship on Saturday. Tomorrow, that same person, after they have overeaten, they will announce to say, I've changed my mind, worship on Sunday. But our position, why we are, people are ready to die for it and they're bent on the stake, it's because it comes from what the Bible says, and we believe it is God speaking. So when it comes to the aspect of the festivals, you will find them in the Old Testament. You will find Moses instructing, okay? In Exodus, Moses is speaking clearly. I've just remembered in chapter 13, verse 3, Moses is talking to the people, commemorate this day, okay? He's speaking of celebrate the festival of unleavened bread. And as this is given, you will still find that in the New Testament also, I think you remember what comes to my mind is a time when Jesus, can I remember that particular text? I think it must be somewhere, John chapter 13. And the Bible there says, I think it must be before, just before the festival, that and Jesus knew that his hour had come. So the Passover festival is mentioned both in the New and the Old Testament.
Yeah.
But then what we are saying is that if we care to decode what is being talked about, we will understand to say this had a meaning. It was pointing. It was a shadow of things to come. And when we have understood slowly and patiently, then we'll be able to put things in context so that, for example, we would not condemn a person who is celebrating. If a person is celebrating Easter, have they sinned?
Yeah, I'm not, no.
You see, my understanding of this is that we even when we don't celebrate it ourselves, why don't we celebrate? So a person should be able to, you should be able to defend your faith. I don't celebrate this, but I acknowledge, because can you deny the facts of what causes a person to talk about Easter? Are you going to see people and say what you are doing is evil? No, you will take advantage of the fact that somebody has an understanding that indeed Christ was born, and indeed Christ was crucified, and the day he was crucified was actually a Friday, and you're calling it Good Friday. And then the Sabbath, when he's resting, you're calling it Holy Sabbath. And the Sunday that he resurrected, you're calling it the Easter Sunday. Does it then help us to explain when we go to Luke and somebody is arguing and saying the Sabbath can be whichever day? You see, so that will help us to relate to certain other truths if we're sincerely searching for the truth.
Yeah.
Because you then cannot call Sunday Sabbath, because the Easter weekend is clear in front of you. How possible is it that you call it Easter Sunday, you call it Holy Sabbath, you call it a Good Friday, but on other days you are going to say Sunday is the Sabbath? No, because then you are shooting yourself in the foot. So if you celebrate Easter that way, you should have no difficulty understanding other truths, because when the Bible says, and then the first day, it was the preparation day before the Sabbath day began. And then when you go to chapter 1, verse 1, it says, the Bible then follows up and says, very early in the morning, okay, the first day of the week, Christ, when Mary and the other women went to the tomb, they found it was empty. For me, if I find somebody who believes and celebrates in Easter, it becomes easier for me to get other biblical truths and explain them to them, because I will build on what they already believe and what they know. Then I can reveal more of the truth just based on what they believe in. I think, to me, that is how God would like us to understand that wherever people are, it is not ours to say, well, I'm winning the debate because I don't do this and this. No, but to understand them and follow through and be able to ask by the power of the Holy Spirit wisdom, that we should be able to show the others the light. So the world is in the euphoria now, and they have commercialized this. They are looking at it from a different angle. But we as God's children, what should we be able to do using what the world already understands, so that we can advance the God's agenda and God's picture? That is how I would look at it.
Yeah. So as we end, my elder, on a lighter note, I believe there is a question that came through as well as we wrap up. Is it okay to eat the chocolates, though? Even if I don't believe, nor am I celebrating Easter. They're just too nice, my elder. Can we eat at least the Easter eggs?
Guess what? I am so naive. What is the relationship between the chocolates and Easter? Sorry.
It's the bun, Mfundisi. It's Easter. It's Easter is the relation there, my elder.
Okay. And their chocolates. Let's speak about Easter.
Yes, my elder.
No, come on. We eat. We enjoy them.
Yeah.
Okay. We enjoy them. I mean, there is no evil at all in us eating. What we need to appreciate is that the Lord Jesus died. But we have a deeper understanding. It is not the day on the calendar that Jesus died, but our everyday life is a life that is in appreciation of the death of Christ. He teaches us to say no to ungodliness and to say yes to righteous living. It is because of what he accomplished on the cross that we now live in him. And whatever we do, we reflect the love of God. So it improves, and it actually brings an enhanced quality of life, because we live in view of that reality. So the chocolates, we graciously eat them.
We eat, yes, yes. They are even commenting, saying, yes, enjoy and eat them. My elder, thank you so much, for coming through. I believe that we have We've learned and we have discussed a lot, and I really do believe that, you know, as we go forward, we are going to have more of these conversations. There's the issue of Tammuz as well. You know, come December, we're also going to discuss the Christmas issue as well. But also, I'm really interested now in understanding the feasts and everything else. But yeah, God willing, we are going to discuss them another time. So my elder, I'm going to ask that, can you please pray for our listeners and those observing the Easter and those observing the Passover next week and those not observing, Yonkenji, everyone. Like, please do pray for us.
So we pray. Our God and our loving Father, we thank you so much because you are our God. You know us and you know the peculiarities of our personalities. You know each one of us at the level where we are. Those of us that can do with milk, you will give us milk. Those of us, Lord, that you will reveal much more light, you will do so. And yet we all will have responsibility for the much light that you've given to all of us. Loving and living God, the world is in euphoria and celebration of the Easter. The Easter itself and its origin is not there in the Bible, but the facts associated to it are your suffering, that week, oh God, arrested. The last meal you had was that Thursday with the disciples when you spoke of what was going to happen to you. Next, you are praying and they come to arrest. And from then on, Lord, dragged from one courtroom to the other, and the blood is oozing like it's an animal. And next, you are on the cross. Why did you have to suffer like this, oh God, that, Lord, you may save a sinner like me? My prayer is that may this reality overshadow everything else. While, Lord, we would like to understand the festivities of the past, to our forefathers in the past, to them you revealed yourself in types. You talked about the bread. They had to carry lambs. They had to slaughter lambs, all in order for them to understand that without the remission without the shedding of blood, there was no remission of sin. Now, for us, Lord, we carry no lambs. So as we understand what happened, oh God, to foreshadow you, and what now is not happening because of you, oh God, help us that we will not be lost. And we will appreciate and we'll be able to share this light with our friends as we celebrate, as people celebrate, and as we, oh Lord God of glory, on a daily basis, appreciate what you have done for us. Every day we celebrate you. We pray that may you keep our brothers and sisters. Some in celebrating Easter, they will go and drink themselves off. Some will be involved in fatal accident, even to die. What sort of celebration is this? If we are in total celebration of your death and resurrection, why would people have to intoxicate themselves? Is that how we ought to celebrate you? Shouldn't we be in your presence? Shouldn't we do good to those that are in need and those that are sick? We just pray that as the world celebrates, teach us that we may show the world the true way of honoring you and celebrating you on a daily basis, because our bodies are a temple of the Holy Spirit. And every day we are to worship you, to fear your holy name, and to honor you. Thank you for the privilege that we have had to discuss. And what we've discussed is just a snippet. Help us that we may be thirsty even the more, that we'll dig a little deeper in the storehouse of your love and truth, that we will understand, and when we have fully grasped these truths, we will strengthen our brethren. Thank you, because you have heard and answered our prayer. We make it in the name of Jesus and for his sake. Amen.
Amen and amen. Umdala, thank you so much for coming through and speaking to us and educating us. You are always a pleasure to talk to. May you have yourself a happy, blessed Sabbath. Oh, blessed, happy Sabbath. It's already Sabbath here. I believe that side is also Sabbath. So have yourself a blessed day with your family.
Amen. Happy Sabbath too.
Amen.
You are tuned into Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.